These peculiar times that we are in and all the things that are happening, that you are still exactly the same God that you have always been. And we just thank you that you are with and for us. So Father, just come in this place, fill it afresh with all that you are, and have your way this morning. Let each and every one of us have a fresh encounter with you and of who you are. Have your way here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, first slide. So today what I'm bringing to us here is from John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, this is actually one of my favourite scriptures, which I'm pretty sure it's not a lot of people's favourite scriptures, but I absolutely love this. This is Jesus speaking, saying this. John's recorded it in his account of him. And I love this because it's dealing with the hard facts. It's telling us, as an absolutely unavoidable fact of life, whilst we live in this world, we will have trouble. It's not something we often like to think about or acknowledge. But that's not all Jesus is saying. He doesn't just say, you're going to have a rough time down there, kind of unlucky. He doesn't leave it there. He follows it up with, take heart, for he has overcome the world. And I think this is particularly relevant at this time. Whilst we all know that troubles do come to each and every one of us in all kinds of shapes and forms, we can't avoid that. It is, as he's told us, a fact of life. But at the moment, we're living in particularly troubling times. We can't deny that. We can't avoid it. It is our reality. And we may look forward and not see how things will unfold. There is much uncertainty at this time. And so I think it's even more relevant that we look at what God himself, through Jesus Christ, has to say about this hard fact of life. And so I want us to look into this a little bit more this morning and look at, well, why is Jesus saying this? Is he just kind of randomly chucking it out there? Or actually, is he telling us something that he himself has experienced? He came down here, lived amongst us in human form, and he experienced troubles. So I want us to look at him as the ultimate role model to see, well, what did he do in the face of his troubles? How did he face them, let alone overcome them? And what does that mean today for you and I? What can we learn from him? And how do we apply that to our lives today in the face of whether it's the global pandemic or whether it's any other form of trouble that existed before or that exists within or that is to come? And I want us to see, how did Jesus do that? How did he respond? How did he overcome? And how can we do that? Because the things that happen, the troubles that come, anything basically that causes our hearts to be impacted in a way that they might just kind of sink, or we might just feel, oh, I don't want to face that thing. I want to look away. I don't want it to be so. I don't want to have to deal with it. The things that make us anxious or sad or fearful, I want us to look at those things and see, well, how did Jesus deal with them? Because if he could, we could too. And so, to move on to the next scripture, of course, we can't just look at one line in isolation of the rest of God's word. And so, if we look at the context of John, and in fact, any of the Gospels, what they are telling us is it's the disciples' account of what they've experienced of Jesus. They've walked with him, they've lived with him, they've seen how great he is, they've heard him talk about who he is, whether it's he's the Son of God, he's the light of the world, he's the good shepherd. He's telling them all these things about who he is, and he's showing them about who he is. He's performing miracles, he's raising people from the dead, he's creating a foundation for them about who he is, all the good stuff about who he is. But Jesus knows that's not the whole picture. Whilst God is good and he's done all these things and he is all these things, he also wants to prepare the disciples for reality. that life is not just all the good stuff, that hard things happen too. And Jesus wants to prepare the disciples. This really horrible, troubling thing is going to happen, and I want you to be ready. He basically wants to prepare them for the crucifixion. And so we're told in Matthew 16:21-23, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus is trying to tell them this horrible thing is going to happen, this trouble is going to come. But quite often as humans, we don't like to think about horrible things that are going to happen. And we don't always want to talk about them because we don't want them to be so. And we're shown here that actually Peter is no different. And when Peter hears Jesus saying, "Look, you lot, this stuff's going to happen. I want to prepare you for it." Peter actually takes Jesus aside, begins to rebuke him. He says, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Because quite often we don't want to think about the tough stuff. We don't want to talk about the troubles. We just, no, let's just focus on the good stuff. We don't want to go there. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. Let's not think of it. It will be okay. We're children of God. And here is Jesus Christ himself, who then responds to Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." He's saying to Peter, look, there's a bigger picture. We don't see all of it. We don't know all of it. We don't understand all of it. But there's other things going on here, and we need to talk about the tough stuff. Jesus is saying, this is going to happen. I want to prepare you for it. And so, moving on to the next slide. How does Jesus respond to this awful thing that's going to happen to him, the cross? Now, there's lots of things that Jesus experienced in his life. He had issues with his family. He was wrongly accused of things. He was mocked. He had all kinds of challenges, particularly with the religious leaders. But the worst thing he faced was the cross in his life. And so I'm using that example to show us, look, we have stuff happen to us that causes our hearts to sink, that causes our hearts to feel all kinds of horrible things. And if Jesus can deal with what he did, then you and I can deal with anything that life throws at us, whether it's the small day-to-day stuff, whether it's actually life-threatening stuff to us or to those that we love, or whether it's anything in between. And so how does Jesus respond? He knows what is going to happen. He's trying to prepare the disciples. He doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't say, "But just don't look or think about that. I won't have to deal with it. It'll just disappear." He knows it's going to happen, and he looks it square on. And the first thing he does is he acknowledges what that's like for him. He acknowledges the trouble, and he acknowledges the impact on his own heart. And so we're told the night before the crucifixion in Matthew 26:37-39, Jesus takes Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." And so this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's not pretending it's okay. He's not glossing it over. He's not kind of, "Yeah, it's all going to be fine, no problem, I'm all right with it." He is honest, and he acknowledges, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." Now, we face things, it might not be to that extent, and it might be to that extent. Or it might just be that, "Oh gosh, my heart sinks in the face of that," or, "Oh, I'm not sure what to do with that, I feel afraid, I feel anxious, I feel overwhelmed." We could feel all kinds of things like that. And here is Jesus saying openly, "I feel those things." And why wouldn't he, in the face of what he was looking at? So he's honest about that, he owns that. Quite often I think we feel we should pretend that we ought to say we're okay if we're not, as if God Almighty doesn't see our true heart, as if he himself didn't have a heart that was filled with sorrow in the face of troubling things. He was honest, and we can be honest. He also doesn't shut himself away. He doesn't isolate. He doesn't withdraw. He doesn't stop talking to anybody because he's facing this awful thing and his heart's struggling with it. He talks to the disciples. He talks to the people closest to him. He talks to the people he trusts. And he says, this is what I'm feeling. Please, will you stand with me and pray? He asks for help. And quite often, as humans, we can struggle with being willing to be vulnerable. I've heard so much of this week, this week. I work as a psychotherapist, and people come to me and talk about the things that have happened, the trouble they've experienced, and how it affects their hearts. And quite often this theme comes up, that people don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to say, gosh, I'm struggling. I feel fearful in my heart. I'm sad. I don't know what to do. They don't like to acknowledge that, much less to go to other people and say, look, this is where I'm at. Can you stand with me in prayer? We can really struggle to be vulnerable. And yet here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, modeling vulnerability. My heart's overwhelmed with sorrow. Will you pray with me? It's effectively a template that he's giving us in the face of trouble. This is how he models responding. He acknowledges it. He faces it. He talks to the disciples about it. And we know the details of these stories. And of course, go and read them again in your own time, because we do forget. And the Gospels are full of all this stuff, what Jesus did and how he did it. But Jesus asked the disciples to pray with him, but he also goes off and he takes responsibility for his walk and his relationship with God, and he goes and prays with God. And we know what happens. He comes back to the disciples and, you're asleep. You know, I've asked you to stand with me, and you fell asleep, you know. The flesh is weak. You might be willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes we experience this. We ask people for help or to pray with us or whatever it is. And sometimes people can't for whatever reason, and we feel let down. And sometimes we let other people down, even with the best will in the world. This is kind of real life. And Jesus experienced that. I've asked you several times and you're sleeping. This is my moment of need. I've asked you for help. But he still knows, even in that, that God's still there. He still spends the whole night seeking God, pouring out his heart to God. The Son of God, he says to him, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but your will be done. This could be you and I with various things that have happened or are happening in our lives when we plead with God. Please let it not be so. Make it be different. Stop this thing. Make it go away. Change it. Because sometimes we just find things so hard and we don't understand and we don't know what to do with it and we feel lots of painful things. And here's Jesus pleading, please, if it's possible, make it be different. He's honest about it. And he spends the night seeking God, really calling upon him. And as we know, next slide, Jesus has prayed, he's sought God, he's asked the others to pray, he's been honest about it. And after that, his night with God being strengthened, he was able to face that most horrific thing and do what he needed to walk into it, to go to his death on the cross. I mean, this is the Son of God. He could have actually said, not really up for that, don't really fancy it, I think I'll opt out of this one. But he didn't. He was strengthened by God and he faced it and did what he needed to do. And the worst thing happened. He pleaded, please let it not be so. But the worst thing happened. And sometimes in our life when we pleaded and prayed and fasted and got everybody else to do that, and sometimes still that worst thing happens. And yet, again, it's not the end of the story. Jesus went through what he went through. But actually, as we know, God raised him back to life 3 days later. He overcame. He didn't avoid, He wasn't exempt from, he wasn't spared the difficult stuff or the suffering or his heart being overwhelmed with sorrow. He wasn't spared those things. But God still enabled him to overcome. And that meant to actually defy the power of death, to be raised back to life. And he did that willingly. He chose to do that so that you and I never have to face anything in this world, any of the trouble that it can throw at us, any of the impacts it has on our hearts, without knowing that God Almighty is always with and for us, strengthening us, enabling us to also overcome. Not necessarily to be spared, not to be exempt from, but to keep doing what he asks us to do, to keep facing that stuff in his strength, knowing that we too shall overcome. Jesus didn't just say, look, I've overcome, isn't that wonderful for me? He's saying, I've walked the path, I've faced the troubles, I've had my heart be overwhelmed with sorrow, and yet I have come out the other side, I've overcome, and I've done that you too can follow that pathway, can walk with him to overcome. We don't know where that path will go. Even in these times, we don't see how things are going to unfold. But we know the God who does. We know the God who has gone ahead, who has walked his own path and come out the other side and overcome, and who enables and strengthens you and I to do that on our pathways with whatever we face and whatever way it impacts us. He's saying, I've overcome. You too can overcome. And so he says, take heart. He's not being glib or flippant. Oh, take heart, cheer up, it'll be fine. He's not dismissing what's gone on, but he's saying, I've lived it. I've walked through it. I've come out the other side, and God raised me back to life. And that very same God lives in us and raises us up again and again to face whatever trouble comes to us. He's told us, you will have trouble. It's unavoidable. But take heart, he's overcome. He raises us up that we can keep facing the things that cause our hearts to sink. He's strengthening us. He's saying, it's okay, I'll bring you through whatever troubles we receive in this life, right to the end of our own lives, to our own deaths, when even then we go to be with him. Because what he has done is overcome the power of death. He enables us to face the troubles in this life, up to and including our deaths when we go to be with him. He has overcome so that we too can overcome in his name and for his glory. Because sometimes we fall into this trap of thinking, oh, you know, my non-Christian neighbours or friends or family or colleagues, you know, I've got to show them that everything's great because I'm a child of God and I want them to see something of God. And certainly the stuff that goes well, we should be praising, we should be thanking, absolutely. But sometimes it's in the toughest, most troubling times that we get to demonstrate the power of God even more clearly and powerfully. We're not spared from, but God meets us in the midst of and strengthens us to face it, to do what we need to, and to come through. We see God in that. And so next slide. So Jesus has overcome. But how do we apply this to our lives, though? We're not talking necessarily about facing what he faced. We're talking about anything, any form of trouble that causes our heart to sink. Now, that doesn't mean that if what we're facing is worrying about the bills or worrying about our health or worrying about the relatives that we can't see or whatever it might be, it doesn't mean that these things don't matter, or but they're small and what he faced was big. Quite often have people say that to me, but this thing I'm struggling with, other people have got it much worse. It's not about comparison. It's about anything in our life that causes our hearts to sink and be troubled and be heavy, or us to lose heart. Anything that makes us feel like that, Jesus has role modeled a template for us that we can go to him and he'll strengthen us and help us to keep going, to keep doing what we need to, and to keep coming out the other side. Because we can't make trouble stop. We can't make this global pandemic stop. We can't make the things within it stop. But we can refuse to lose sight of who Jesus is. He's unchanging. He's exactly the same Jesus he was before this. He will be after this. He will be during this. And so it's whether we can follow this template he's modeled for us. Be honest about what's going on. Be honest with how it affects your heart. Talk to the people you trust. Ask them to pray with you. And spend time with God. If you're struggling, look to God to strengthen and sustain you. Look to him to bring you through, even if you don't know what that means or looks like. Because God knows us, and he knows our hearts, and he knows what it's like to live down here, and he knows we face things that troubles us, but he also knows he enables us to overcome, not be spared from, not exempt from pain or suffering or troubles, but to overcome, to keep being all that we are in him, through his strengths. There's actually a line at the start of this scripture, John 16:33. It says something like, I tell you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then he says, in this trouble, in this life, you will have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome. And that's another whole message on the peace of God. But actually, he's giving us a template. He's modeling for us. Things happen, hard things, heartbreaking things. And if we're looking to our circumstance or what's going on in the world for our peace, we're going to be struggling. But he offers us a different type of peace that comes from remembering who he is, continuing to go to him, continuing to seek him, and continuing to be strengthened by him to face whatever we need to face in this life. He's an unchanging God. He's overcome. He's gone ahead. He said, I've walked the path. I've lived it. I've felt it. I've known it. I've come out the other side. And you too can do that. You too can overcome rather than be overcome by. We just got to keep remembering who he is. Keep seeking him. Keep trusting him. Keep calling upon him. Keep receiving of him. And keep facing what we need to, doing our bit, and knowing he'll bring us through in one way or another. He's an unchanging God, and one that is with us, who knows our hearts, who strengthens our hearts and brings us through. And I'm going to leave it at that. And I think this is a good time to move into our communion. Just remind ourselves who he is and what he's done for us and what that means for our lives here and now.